The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. A good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. A hired man who is not a shepherd and whose sheep are not his own sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away, and the wolf catches and scatters them. This is because he works for pay and has no concern for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know mine, and mine know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I will lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. These also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is why the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. I will offer this honest reflection. Yeah, every time I go to preach something from the Gospel of John, I just go, to what now? Okay, what? There is. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. It's not always exasperation, but it with some frequency is. It's just packed with meaning, and sometimes we encounter the words of the text of the Gospel of John as needing decoding, and this passage is right along those lines. I think I'm grateful for the fact that we have the other readings, which actually shed some light on what's going on in the Gospel of John. So I want to begin from the beginning. I think it was Peter's speech in the Acts of the Apostles. He's talking to the leaders of the people and elders. Okay, so what has happened? A man who couldn't walk has been healed by Peter and John. And then the question, the examination of Peter and John, is the question about by what means was he saved? Okay, and he says, so this is the first kind of reframing opportunity for us. What do we mean by salvation? What do we mean by salvation here in the gospel? I'm just going to use the words that are in the Acts of the Apostles. Okay, they're in our translation of it. We're looking at salvation. We're looking at a good deed done to a cripple. Okay, so we're looking at a man who couldn't walk, right? And everybody knew it. Everybody knew him, and then he's given full human life, right? He's cured of what ails him, in order that he might live as a full human being. Okay, I know. We get into whether or not the Acts of the Apostles is an ableist account or something, right? It's like, yeah, exactly. Let's leave our own baggage, let's to the side for a minute. Okay. St. Peter is saying that is salvation. Yeah, that is salvation. It's in the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene. In his name, this man stands before you healed. There is no salvation through anyone else. Nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. So that's the work of salvation, is the restoration of human beings here and now. Okay? So I think part of the first frame of reference for us is that we stop thinking about salvation as going to heaven when we die. Okay? That's pretty important, right? I mean, it's pretty important. But salvation is the restoration of humanity here and now. Okay? The end of times stuff, I hate to have to do this every time, right? I mean, you hate to have me do this every time, but there is life after death, right? Our identity perdures. We're gathered by God to himself. This is the life of heaven. This is the life of rest and peace, in anticipation of our resurrection, right? So prior to our resurrection, our say, immaterial life is gathered to God. Our identity somehow is gathered to God. Some people call that a soul. I'm kind of hesitant to do it because it conjures up images of Casper the ghost, okay? And this is, we're not in that realm, really, okay? So you get that, you die, you have your identity persists or perdures, and we're waiting there and then for the resurrection. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for new bodily human life, okay? New bodily human life, freed from the ravages of sin and death. When Jesus and then his apostles are doing works that restore human beings, they're anticipating the resurrection. Okay? Yeah? That's what we're working towards. Okay, so then when we get to Jesus and see that he's the good shepherd and that what he has on offer for us is abundant life, we're looking at that human life that is restored so as to occupy the place that God always intended it to be. Okay, so human beings, again, God in his creation creates the spiritual realm and spiritual beings, angels and the rest. And then he creates physical, material beings, animals, yeah? Okay, and then he creates human beings to hold the two together. To take the merely material beings and sum up the praises of God on behalf of the material beings. So to say, okay, I'm going to take all this material stuff and turn it over to God. I am personally going to sing the praises of God on behalf of God's material creation. This is how we bring earth to heaven. Then I, in relationship with God, I'm in communion with God, I'm drawn into relationship with him, I'm going to take what he has to give me, namely his own life of love, his own life of radical generosity, I'm going to receive that, and then I'm going to rule out of that power. So that's how I'm going to bring heaven to earth. Yeah? Okay, so man stands at the overlap of heaven and earth, which is why, of course, if God wants to restore his creation, he goes about that by renewing human beings. This is the way that the whole creation is kind of knit together, as it were. In Jesus, we see the definitive coming together of God and man, of heaven and earth. And then whoever he leads to abundant life plays also the role that Jesus himself plays. We're all like little temples in the sense of we're all made to be the meeting place of God and man. We're all made to be the meeting place of heaven and earth. But again, we get that because our hearts are attuned to Jesus's. Our hearts are centered on God. And this is the restoring and the homemaking action of the Good Shepherd. Okay, so we see in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, which is Jesus speaking of being the Good Shepherd. In fact, the dialogue is provoked by his healing of a blind man. So his bringing to life again a work of salvation, right? He does a homemaking work, then he has to account for it. Right? They make him account for it. And he's saying, yeah, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. I lead mine into life and give them abundant life. Okay, and the whole thing works at the voice of the shepherd. Yeah, so we have here, yeah, Jesus is the one who lays down his life for the sheep. So it's difficult, I think, because we have to allow this image and the other images that are presented in Scripture to reform our imaginations and the way that we think about things. Yeah, because when we think about God, when we say, okay, well, let me just think about God. Maybe I'm going to pray. Maybe I'm just going to think about his existence and the rest. How do we think? Where do we start? What do we do? And here, one of the great images of the scriptures being presented to us as, say, one of the primary ways of which we're to think about God, and that is as the good shepherd. Do we start there? The good Jesus, the good shepherd who will lay down his life for his sheep. So it's not enough, right, that God brings you into existence, right? It's not enough that God causes all things to exist. He brings you into existence. He's also summoning you by faith to this abundant life of his, to share in his own blessed life. But it's not enough for him to bring you into existence. He's going to go and die for you. Right? God, the God of the universe, dies for you. And how and why, and it's all in this passage, right? Because we face a danger. We face the disfiguring forces of sin and death. And the good shepherd lays down his life in order to overcome those forces so that we can have full human life here and now in anticipation of that full and glorious reign that is to come. So Jesus is the one who's going out. Again, okay, so let me say one practical word. I know, yeah, it's spin it off in the morning. It's like 7:30. It's not 7:30 anymore. I know, yeah, it's we're rapidly departing from 7:30, okay? This is it for us, I think. It's all centered on Jesus. We have to hear his voice. He's the one who has laid down his life. He's the one who's taken it up again. And the taking up of his life means also not only the resurrection, but also the ascension. The ascension into heaven, into God's realm, into that realm of heaven, so as to communicate the realm of heaven to us. So Jesus goes to heaven to breathe the life of heaven into us. And so when our hearts, when our lives are centered on Christ Jesus, we're breathing in the life of divine love. We're receiving God, who is radical generosity, and we're made to be radically generous ourselves. And here, I would say, the stress then will be on the spirit, being, say, radically generous in spirit. Okay, you know, generosity of spirit. You know what I mean? Because you know people who are generous, who are radically generous. They're always holding space for you. Do you know they're always there for you? There's not even a flinch, right? It's just they're gonna go. They're gonna help. They're gonna do it. And pray God, I mean, I know many of you actually are those people as well, okay? So we know radically generous. The idea is to see here, God's rescue project is meant to catch everybody up in, right? So Jesus, we've heard the voice of the good shepherd so as to be sheep of his flock. We're gathered by him into salvation, the work of salvation by which we are renewed, and then we get about the work of restoration. But we also become vehicles of the voice of the good shepherd for his beloved world. Because here, as he says, there is only one flock. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, that do not belong to Israel, qua Israel, but these also I must lead, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. So we are sheep, but we're sheep to become shepherds ourselves. And we're to speak that word of love that God speaks to us, to all and sundry, and so be a part of his plan to gather all peoples to himself, renewing them and restoring all of creation.